News and World Economics. Here's for the CDs. And I think you really like them. Plus, we have the full address on there. And it's going to be a reddish-brown tone. And it's going to have the new seal, Christian Biblical Church of God, on the back. And it's going to have the websites also on the back. Now, I may suggest this. With these new envelopes, some people have had a little difficulty with the zipper opening. So let me suggest that you do this. You take either a pair of scissors and just trim off the top edge, or you take a sharp little knife and just go down the seam on the top and then take it out, and you won't have everything all tearing apart. So you might consider that. We're getting these lighter ones because of mailing costs. They want to knock you real hard on mailing costs. But I think you will really like the new mailing envelope. Plus, we're just about done with all of the updates on the Occult Holidays, God's Holy Days switchbook. We're adding approximately 60 pages to it. All of the Old Testament scriptures have now been changed to the scriptures from the Faithful Version. And we've updated quite a bit. We also put a section in there on New Year's Day and the pagan origin of New Year's Day. And it's interesting, one thing was very interesting that we found was this, was that it's 8 days from Christmas to New Year's Day, so the Catholic Church says, well, we will celebrate the circumcision of Christ on that day. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say that you celebrate your circumcision day. So, you know, there is a perfect example of demonic carnality and trying to justify what a person is doing by making it sound biblical. But also, Pope Sylvester decreed that that was a day in which Jews should go to their synagogues and be converted, and they would send Catholic officials there. This ended up in a really mass killing of Jews. And I can understand why the Jews absolutely despise the Roman Catholic Church, yet they have to deal with it. And they have never gotten the point that true Christianity is not Catholicism. Now, there are a lot of Messianic Jew groups in the United States, more than virtually any place else in the world. And so some of them are Sabbath and Holy Day keepers. Some of them are Sunday keepers. But in almost every instance, the Jews cannot get over their traditions. That's why I have asked, you know, mentioned many, many times the code of Jewish law. Because no one understands the Jewish mind or what Paul is talking about in Galatians 2 about the law unless you understand the laws of Judaism. Yeah. Comment was made to the Protestant churches, and I'll have an article and a sermon on that in the very near future, because they are all sort of panting to go back to Rome. And rather than follow sola scriptura, which was, you know, scriptures only, which they have not done. Because how can you follow the scriptures only when you reject the Old Testament? Yeah. So you're confronted with religions that reject, as the Catholics, the whole Bible, because they say we could preach the gospel of the Catholic Church without the Bible. Mm-hmm. And you have the Jews who reject the New Testament, except Messianic Jews, but they can't get over their traditions. And, you know, they have to wear their hats, and they have to wear their phylacteries, and they have to have their prayer shawls. And when I was transferring planes on the way home from Manchester. We stopped in at Midway in Chicago and changed planes. I was flying southwest. As I was getting off, here's a Jew there with his prayer shawl over his head, his two little kids there. He had his Jewish scriptures, and he was standing right there at the corner. We were coming right out, and right at the corner of the main walkway going to all the terminals, here he is standing there with his two little kids, rocking back and forth and praying. I guess he was going on a plane and praying for safe deliverance and things like that. And here are these two poor little kids that he has. They're looking up, they're lost, they're bewildered. You know, what is this that's going on? And I thought, that's pitiful. That's pitiful. But in this article concerning Protestants that I'm going to use here in the very near future, it pointed out that those who are not converted, they call them unregenerate, must have physical things to do because they cannot handle the invisible of Christ and God the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. So, like you said, there is a dividing line. See? And there are many things which fortify the dividing line in the minds of different ones. But I thought it was very interesting that now that the Protestants have become so watered down, and they're talking about the death of Protestantism through a new Reformation, which is a return to Rome and a return to Roman practices such as monasticism and things like this. And I thought their analysis was quite correct, that when you're not converted, I'll use the word converted, then you must have physical things to make you feel that your religion is doing something. Jews have to have physical sacrifices. They have to have physical law. Do this, don't do that. Regulate every minutia of your day. Catholics, nearly the same. They have to have all of the idols. They have to have all of the Catholic law. They have to have all of the catechisms and things. And have you do physical things which then self-discipline you and make you a good Catholic. And so I thought that was very, very insightful. Now, you take and apply this to other religions, same way with the Islamist. They have their idol, which is the Quran, and their false prophet, Mohammed. And then you've got Hinduism, which is many idols, and they're building a new Hindu temple somewhere here in Fremont or something, and they said, well, Hindus have to have their gods, see? And they can even incorporate a lot of carnal Christianity into what they do. They observe Christmas. They observe New Year's. But they also have all of the pagan days that they worship. And Hinduism is kind of like the ancient Greek philosophy that, well, we've got to worship all the gods so that we're right. So the whole world is just really, really something in their religions. But anyway, we'll cover some of that in detail later. So I think that we are going to reach a point where the harvest will be plentiful and the laborers will be few. But at the present time, God wants to know, do you love me and will you be faithful to me even if you have to stand alone? That's what God wants to know. Because you can always be in a huge crowd of people. And if your spirituality is based upon socializing at church, then maybe you need to reconsider your relationship with God. Now, let me read you a letter here, emailed to me. Dear Fred Coulter, I am a former member of WWCG. And was led astray. But now I have found the truth again, and the Christian Biblical Church of God would like to be on your mailing list. For a while now, I have been downloading sermons off your website and keeping the Sabbath on my own. It is probably too late, but I would like to be on the list for the new Bible that is coming out, if that's okay. We'll take care of that for you. But we're finding many, many people like this. I am getting letters similar to this more frequently than before. Here's another one. Some of the UCG brethren in our area get your sermons. In talking to someone from there, they are aware what you say about Pentecost. I've been questioned by a few of my friends from there about this in the last couple of years, and I'm glad we are not in any large corporate church of God anymore. I have gone back to visit one once in a great while. I really get turned off by those who think if you're not a part of their group, you are not saved, or they will shun you. But there are those who are open and friendly yet. There was a retired UCG member, also formerly WCG minister, no minister, UCG minister rather, here that knows you. He gave his name. He's not in good health, but he told me to say hi to you in during the last few words. There we go. Now, I hope that all of those sermons that I've been doing leading up to Pentecost, and we'll examine a little bit more here today and hope that this Sabbath we can finish it. Now, here's one from someone up in Alaska, brethren up there, the Dunn, some of you may know them. Dear Fred, great Pentecost messages. Keep up the great Bible studies. We have been doing church at home for 5 years now with a lot of help from your meaty tapes and CDs and websites. Surely there are meat in due season. We only wished our other friends in Living Church of God and United Church of God would listen to them. We are looking forward to the new Bible with great anticipation. The local minister here in Anchorage, Alaska, for UCG, and he was here 10 years ago, from 77 to 87, and I talked with him yesterday when we went over for the potluck, which they have every other week after church. We were talking about church politics, and it was interesting to note that they, ministers and members alike, don't like the politics of the church. But they seem to fail to realize it is because of the church government that they abide or put up with and live under. As it turned out, Clyde Kilo, and he's the president of United, was there also, makes me wonder about the politics of that. I met him just as he was leaving, and I asked him if he had a chance to do any fishing while here, and as it turned out, he's going to go out with one of the members tomorrow, and our son Michael is his deckhand. So it will be interesting to hear how the fishing trip goes. As an aside, he got his new boat this year, which is quite a huge investment, and it turns out that it is a new hull design which has a serious flaw that is causing him a lot of grief and lost revenue because of all the problems associated with it. Please pray that his troubles with the boat can be resolved and he can finish the fishing season with smooth sailing, so to speak. Today, we went over for the potluck between ours and United morning afternoon services, and I saw Clyde and told him that I hope he gets some halibut. And I prayed for good weather and calm seas. Hopefully, Cook Inlet will be a sea of glass tomorrow as a reminder, because I happened to ask him if UCG has done any study on the biblical subjects of the sea of glass and Pentecost first resurrection. He said he thought the people possibly had done some personal Bible studies on these subjects, but that UCG had not. Don't bother me with facts. Well, I asked God to cause them to catch a halibut, each that had the words Sea of Glass and Pentecost First Resurrection tattooed on their skin. That would be cool. We shall see. My wife mentioned the sea of glass, the bride making herself ready for the wedding and Pentecost, etc., to Dick Ames's wife 6 or 7 years ago. Now, that's Living Church of God, when we were still meeting with them. And Dick later commented in a sermon tape that it was a bunch of nonsense. We shall see what it takes for the Church of God as a whole to start listening to the inspiration coming through the Holy Spirit. It seems many are grieving the Holy Spirit by refusing to pay attention. Pride is a very destructive condition. See, are you interested in truth? And as I said when I started out this series of sermons, if you have proof from the Bible that trumpets is the day of the resurrection, be happy to change. But you have to disprove all the aspects of a Pentecost symbolizing the first resurrection and everything connected with it, because all the churches of God accept the fulfillment of the Passover with Israel in Egypt, with coming into the promised land, with Christ dying on the Passover day. They all accept the wave sheaf offering day, picturing the ascension of Christ. They all accept the Feast of Unleavened Bread as coming out of sin, coming out of the world, and having our lives changed through the Spirit of God. They all accept that Pentecost pictures the completion of the first fruit harvest in the grain and wheat, but they refuse to recognize that that's exactly how Jesus described it in Matthew 13 and Mark 4. We are a harvest. We are a grain. Now, I forgot one thing about the two loaves in Leviticus 23, so I'll try and cover that today on another tape. So we'll see what happens. And I think that taking up the challenge and going through it in greater detail has helped a lot of other people and has helped us to really understand that, yes, these things are there. Yes, they are there. Now let's talk a little bit about what's going on economically. And I wrote in my coming letter that the monies that these hedge funds and investment banks are borrowing at 2%. 2%. If you got a 2% loan, what would you do with that? Well, why are all the commodity prices rising out of sight? Well, it's probably because they are borrowing the money at 2%, not to hold the capital asset to cover their bad loans that they had with the subprime mortgage, but they are investing into the futures market, into oil and corn and wheat and soybean, etc., driving the prices up for what purpose? When you understand that they borrowed at 2%, and then they can buy a futures contract for 5 cents on the dollar, drive the price up and then sell the futures contract, take that profit and replace their losses, and then take the money they borrowed from the Fed, reinvest it on the downside. And in the markets, it's called a put. If wheat is selling for $12 a bushel, you put a put in that you will buy it at $7 a bushel. And the difference between the 12 and 7, the $5 profit, you make. Because someone has lost the difference between the $12 and the $7, and so you make the money on that. So they are making money coming and going. And what they are doing, they are making all the world, every person in the world, pay more for what they have to reap greater profits so they can replace their gambling that they did on the subprime loans, which was absolutely insane. And they have to make $1 trillion to replace it. Now, what is an indicator that this is true? The indicator is the price of gold has been going down. They don't want people to go in gold and hold gold and make gold go up. But oil's going up and all the other commodities are going up. So they're going to reach a certain frenzy point, and probably the American people are going to get so mad that they're going to have to start drilling and doing a whole lot of other things here in America to bring the price down. Because if they keep going up, 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 up the way they're doing, if they get over $150 a barrel, they are going to cause a collapse in the world economic system. And they don't want that. They want to keep the world economic system going because it's not quite yet time for the mark of the beast. And one of the things that they haven't worked out is this. The chip implant that we talked about years ago, remember several years ago I said, the mark of the beast is here, the mark of the beast is here, but I said, don't get excited. It has a long way to go yet. But it tells you what they want to do. And I'll give an updated version of it, which will blow your mind. I'll try and do that here sometime this summer. But the implants that they put in now can cause cancer. So they have to figure out how they can put an implant without causing cancer. And as I have mentioned, which we will find out, which is this, they want total control. Well, now you can't do that if you today collapse all the financial markets, all the commodity markets, etc. Now, just yesterday, President Bush suggested that there be a Marshall Plan type thing for all the Islamic nations. Might be a very good thing if they force all of the oil-producing nations to pony up all the money. Namely, the stingy, ungiving Saudi Arabians. They are the most miserly, generous people in the world. For the relief fund that the United Nations has, they have never contributed one penny. And they sit there and say, oh, we wonder why the price of oil is so high. It's not our fault, it's their fault. And those people over there say, well, it's not our fault, it's their fault. So I think a Marshall Plan would be good. If you make Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, Abu Dhabi, every oil-producing nation in the world, yes, let's get Venezuela to do that, okay? Then have a Marshall Plan for the Islamic states. Now, back to the Federal Reserve and the ECB, which is European Central Bank run by the Germans. And they are refusing to lower the interest rate, which is going to exacerbate the problem in America with our lower interest rates and cause greater failures in Europe. So the end of the financial downturn is not behind us. Just to give you one little clue and one little location, in a little old San Benito County with a population of about 55,000, I don't know the number of homes, but I would suppose that that would be about two-thirds of that, which would be something like 38,000 homes. They've had 5,000 foreclosures. And I suspect that in Solano County, where we're meeting today, that they probably have 30 to 50,000 foreclosures here. Now, in light of that, let me read this article. Federal Reserve and ECB, European Central Bank, are in no mood to save us from the consequences of our debt. Just to give you another small example in Hollister, a lettuce picker who made $15,000 a year was given a loan to buy a $750,000 home. And the loan officer, since this was just based on the credit report number and not verifying anything, put down that he made $150,000. Now, can you imagine a lettuce picker making $150,000? Well, needless to say, there was listed right there in the foreclosure. And we keep tabs on the foreclosure in that area. So that tells you part of it. Okay. And right now, in the area of Hollister, bank-owned homes are selling for 50% of what they were selling for before the subprime market broke back in last October. So here's the article. Fetch your tin helmets again. That is because of the financial thing going on. The European Central Bank is opting for a monetary purge. So too is the U.S. Federal Reserve, now ruled from Dallas, because there's a fight within the Federal Reserve. See, rather than stopping the speculators by making them put 50% down if they buy a futures market instead of 5 cents down, they would stop all the speculating. No, what they do is jack up the interest rate to curtail inflation. And the low interest rate is not the inflation problem. So there's this big fight going on. Uber hawks out of Germany and Cromwellians, that is England, have gained the upper hand as the great fortress banks. Whether or not they admit it, both are embarked on policies that must lead to re-entrenchment across the Atlantic world. The city mood turned wicked as the full import of this policy switch sank in last week on Wall Street. The Dow's turned out to be 500-point downturn on high volume late Friday, had an ugly feel. There is now the distinct possibility of a simultaneous sell-off of global bonds, equities, and commodities, said Jonathan Wilmut of Credit Suisse. ECB chief Jean-Claude Trecht has signaled a rate raise in April to combat a 3.6% inflation rate, much to the fury of Paris, Madrid, Rome, Lisbon, and Dublin. It is a perilous path for Europeans or for Europe's monetary union. I would advise Mr. Trecht to be more careful in his comments, said Spain's Prime Minister Luis Zapatero. The counterattack has begun. Spain's property crash is calamitous. So not only here. House prices have tumbled 15% since September, say developers. Over 98% of Spanish mortgages are on floating rates, priced to the three-month euro, that is Euribor. It used to be LIBOR, but it's Euribor now. This rate leaped 32 basis points to 5.24%, and generally that means they're charged 2% higher. So it jumps from 4% up to 7% what they're paying on their loans. After Mr. Trecht opened his mouth, the ECB DiMarchi is ominous for the rest of us as well. We may be watching a reply of the Bundesbank's ill-judged rate raise in 1987. Remember when the stock market went down? 1987, 500 points at that time, which sent the dollar into a tailspin and triggered the Black Monday crash. Any tilt in monetary tightening is a dangerous gamble at this delicate juncture. The world is facing an almighty clash between two opposing storms. Europe across the Atlantic and the Fed here on this side. The East, loosely speaking, that is East Europe, is in the blow-off phase of an inflationary boom. Russia, Ukraine, Vietnam, and the Gulf are out of control. China has dithered beyond the point of no return. It is they who have repeated the errors of the 1970s, not the West. The two camps face critically different problems at this point. It will take central banking skills of great subtlety to pilot these seas. Slavish adherence to inflation targeting and other totalism and pseudoscience will ruin us all. Yes, we face an oil and food spike. Call that inflation if you want, but note that Europe's M1 money supply has contracted over the last 5 months. U.S. M1 money supply has turned deeply negative, while M2 and NZN growth have collapsed. America is going from bad to worse. A net 861,000 people joined the dole in May, pushing the unemployment rate up by 5% to 5.5. Home prices have fallen 14.4% over the past year. Miami is off 25%, other places down 40, 50%. Probably go lower. The Mortgage Banker Association says 8.8% of all house loans are in default or in arrears, and negative equity has engulfed 11 million households. That means you owe more on your house than what it's worth. The AA-rated tranches of the 2007 subprime mortgage debts are now trading at 12% of face value. The BB grade bonds are down to 5% on the dollar. The debacle is reaching the 2004 vintage debt. We've moved a step closer to a meltdown in the U.S. municipal bond market last week when the monoline insurers of MBIA lost their AAA rating from Standards and Poor's. Now, if you understand the financial market, it's going to be bad, bad, bad news. This means that cities who have their municipal bonds and they pay like 4 or 5% on it, it's going to immediately jump to 10 or 12%. Now, with downturn in tax revenues because of foreclosures on properties, which are not paying taxes, and unemployment, which is going down, or going up rather, they are going to come to a point that they're going to have to go bankrupt, just like the city just west of us over here, Vallejo, recently had to go through, because they couldn't get the unions of the police and the firemen to reduce their salary, some of whom made $200,000 a year because of overtime, because the union would not allow the hiring of new policemen and firemen at lower rates. So you see, we are in an insane economic condition. Comment was made that Germany has the strongest economy in Europe right now, but they're going to break all the rest of Europe. You see, I made a comment one time, Germany lost, but the Nazis won. Now you think on that. And I also made the comment that up in Nevada, there's a tent city, and there will be many more of them because people are being pushed out of their homes. What are you going to do if your home is worth $200,000 and you owe $450,000 on it? You can't sell it. You can't rent it and lease it. The only thing you can do is find the keys, go online, find out how you can walk away. And you mail the keys to the lender with a note saying, sayonara, can no longer pay these prices. Go to the next track, please.